This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. Let's go. We got to get up. We got to get a getting here and get on down there to the little country church where they holding services. And I hear them singing. Sound like I hear them singing back there in the bend of the creek there somewhere. Come on, Dan, let's go. We just dragging around. We don't have far to go. Come on, get a little lope on, if you will. And let's get on down there. We're happy to be back here today with you folks. And if I can get old Dan to step up a little bit. But you folks, I praise the Lord for you. Many of you have written me. Many of you have helped me with the broadcast. But I wish you would. Keep praying for me. Day by day, Satan hates the gospel. Satan hates God's man. Did you know that? Did it ever dawn on you that we are directly opposed to Satan? And he's directly opposed to us? He is. He hates God's man with a passion. You tell me you're not bothered by Satan? You pick up some tracks and go start putting them out on Saturday evening somewhere. Walk around in your subdivision, knock on the door and say, folks, I'd like to hand you a good little soundtrack here. Maybe it'll bless your heart. You tell me that Satan don't bother you, you pick up those tracks and start out the door. Or you go into the hospital there in the waiting room. You'll be intimidated. Oh, them folks are watching me. I can't lay these down because they're watching me. Well, my friend, Satan puts that in your mind. Put that in. You'd be surprised what reception you'll get if you walk to somebody kindly and cordially. If they refuse, good, no problem. Or if they accept it, and if they sit down and read over in a few minutes, they'll come back and say, you know, this is a gracious little book. You got any more of those? My friend, let's get out the gospel. Let's get out to God. I'm afraid that we're living in a time when folks do not see the need to get out the gospel. Don't matter how it is, my friend. We got tracts here by the hundreds of thousands. We'd be glad to send you a pack of them if you'd like. And you could give them out. Give one to your pastor, to your preacher. Say, preacher, the Old Trailblazer has got a tract ministry. They publish these little tracts, and we hand them out. Would you like to have one? We got that one. I've been advertised called Play in Church. You write and get that one and give it to your pastor. Not critically, no. Just say, this is a little message that blessed my heart. Pastor, would you like to read it? And then I'll send you a title list of many, many more. But we're looking here now at how Satan has caused many of our folks to turn away and been intimidated. But listen, we're looking at what he has done. Over a period of time, Satan has raised up a group of preachers who either minimize or make fun of the blood redemption in Christ, salvation by grace, and has substituted salvation by works. Oh, my friend, the multitudes of individuals, many of whom I have met, many of whom I have spoken to, they base their salvation, they base their hope of salvation on dipping soup on Thanksgiving Day for a bunch of homeless people. They base their salvation on those kind of things. But listen, Satan teaches us, or tries to, that there's something good in man, and by a system of education and training and doing religious exercises, that good can be brought out of man and brought into the kingdom of God because of who he is. Then fourthly, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit has been set aside by the church. They've gone forth laboring in the energy of the flesh under a training and educational program. Oh, my friend, listen. Pastor Shelton told this little story, little incident happened to him when he was a young preacher in New Orleans, just getting started. And they called on him to join a little group that were going to get out something that needed to do some project they were working on. And he told the chairman, he said, well, let's take time to pray about it and see what the Lord's will is. And the chairman of the committee said, oh, we don't have time to wait on the Lord. We got to have this now. He said, well, just take my name off the list. If we can't wait on the Lord, well, I don't need to be on this committee. Now, my friend, how much are we doing, you and I, how much are we doing without ever asking the Lord's blessings on it? How much are we doing? How much are we doing? Oh, but listen, my friend, listen. How many of you have never dedicated your children to the Lord? You have a newborn in your family? Father, you can do that. It don't matter if you saved or not. You can dedicate that child. We do that here in our services. Oftentimes on Sunday morning, we have a brand new great-grandson that just been born a few weeks ago, and one of these days, before long, when he gets a little older, and his mom and daddy get comfortable, we'll bring him up there, hold him in our arms, and dedicate him unto the Lord. Dedicate him unto the Lord. Lord, call him as a God-sent, God-fearing preacher of the gospel. You can do that if it be thy will, Lord. Lord, you can do that. But listen, therefore Satan has stepped in and substituted demon spirit manifestations, and the average church member now is not led by the Holy Spirit, but by a demon spirit under the guise of the Holy Ghost, which manifests itself in an imitation of the Holy Spirit. Now you listen, listen. You perk up your ears and listen. Dad, you over there in your rocking chair, lazy boy, laid back with your eyes closed. Sit up and listen. Listen. You may be on the road to hell and don't even know it. No, I'm not a crackpot. No, I'm telling you God's truth. Fifth, the second coming of Christ is now scoffed at, made fun of, and a result the church has set about trying to bring in the kingdom on earth without Christ coming back, and they use their slogan, bringing in the kingdom. They try to do by their own works, teaching school, teaching Bible school, hospitals, training organization. All this is leading up to the satanic world church. They cry today is for unity. Unity. I know here in our local community many years ago, before I moved to New Orleans, I don't know how it is now, on Easter Sunday, so-called, which is another misnomer, all the churches, four or five churches, would get together and have what they call a sunrise service. And one year, the Baptist preacher would do the service. Next year, the Catholic man would do it. Next year, the Pentecostal man. My friend, how can two or three walk together if they're not, if they don't agree? If you don't agree with those other fellows, how can you invite them onto your pulpit to preach? Listen, listen, all of that is of Satan. I may be a lone voice down here in this wilderness journey, but I'm crying out for your soul. The only purpose of the Trailblazer, the only purpose for the Voice of Truth, the only purpose for radio missions as we know it, is to get out the gospel, the true gospel, my friend. We have a bookstore that's jam-packed with good sound gospel and good sound music on those CDs that we offer. My friend, listen, the church neglecting or setting aside these great cardinal teachings of divine truth and departing from them has given Satan an opportunity to set in with his program of spiritual imitation according to 2 Corinthians 11:13. Listen now, 2 Corinthians 11:15. Some folks write me and say, Trailblazer, you talk too fast. Well, I'm trying not to. I was brought up on the farm, and my dad was a hustler, and everything we did, we had to do it. We were no slack and no sloth in our working. We were walking down the turn road going back to the field. If we was dragging along, he'd boot us in the tail. Come on, son, get up. Pick it up. Let's go. He wasn't cruel or nothing. He said, come on, we got to get going. So that's what we're doing here. I'll try to slow down just a little bit. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Did you hear that? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, you go back there and read that. 2 Corinthians 11:13. Satan's trump card is imitation. The church having departed, and I use that word referring to the whole of Christendom as we know it, the church having departed from the body of divine truth has laid the groundwork for Satan to come in with his masterpiece of imitation of spiritual life. Now let me pause here and say, I've been accused oftentimes, but my friend, I have no axe to grind. I'm not critical of any poor soul who has missed the Lord, any pastor who is deceived by Satan. All the purpose I have, the aim I have, is to refute error in the kindness and gentleness of my soul. I pray for more kindness. I pray for a gentle spirit. I pray for compassion for the lost. Do you? Pastor, do you pray for compassion of the lost people? You have any lost folks in your church? No, all my folks are saved. Well, praise the Lord. But I wouldn't take that for granted, my friend. We see that believingism has been substituted for salvation. Now you ask me, what is that, Pastor? You speak of that oftentimes. Easy believingism. Let me tell you what it is. Oftentimes, in the Protestant churches especially, They have Sunday school classes, which they should have. And on a certain day of the year, they have what they call decision days. And the Sunday school teachers, the pastor talks to them to get the children ready for decision days. So they talk to those little children, 6, 7, 8 years old, maybe older. And they say, now, next Sunday is our decision days. Now, you want to make the pastor happy, don't you? You want to trust Jesus, don't you? You want Jesus? And they all raise their little hands, and they're sure they do. So the next Sunday, she brings them all into this chapel. And the pastor asks them, all you little ones, y'all want to trust Jesus? And they all raise their little hands. And he prays with them. And he says, now next Sunday night, we'll have baptism. And you call Papa and Mama and bring them to see you be baptized. Now, my friend, those children go out into eternity. I've spoken to dozens who have claim that is their salvation, have known nothing of their sinfulness. They know nothing of repentance. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. I told you about the preacher that helped me with a funeral for a dear soul that I knew and raised with her, went to school with her. And this preacher, I knew the family, and he said in his message, he went before me, he said, this lady joined the church when she was 7 years old. And he said, we had to go back in the archives of the old chapel. They had built a new chapel. And hunt through all of those boxes and boxes and boxes. And find the record where she was baptized when she was 7 years old. Now, my friend, I like to pass out. Oh, listen, is that what you're standing on? Is that what you're banking on? That you were baptized or sprinkled or whatever when you were 7 or 8, 9 years old? I have dozens of folks who've told me that they base their salvation on their baptism when they were young. I know what some denominations do. I know all of those things. But my friend, the Holy Spirit is able to burst that bubble. The Holy Spirit is able to show you your error. And he's using the old Trailblazer ministry sometimes to do that thing. Oh, but listen, we see that believingism has been substituted for salvation. I think I have time to tell you. I heard this preacher one night. He was coming home from New Orleans back when we used to commute. And this preacher, he was a great man, a great, gracious man. He told a lot of war stories. He must have been a service hero or something. He had lots of war stories. And he told a lot of them. And they were interesting, and I enjoyed them. But he told, when he got through, he would say, now, you want to know Jesus? He said, pray this prayer with me. He said, I have it printed out here. And he prayed the prayer. Pray along with me. Jesus, I'm sorry I sinned. My sins are all on my back. I'd like to be saved. Blah, blah, blah. Amen. And he said, did you pray that prayer? If you are, you saved. He said, write me and I'll send you some helpful literature that will ground you into the truth. I don't know what truth he is talking about. And he said, now write me and no postcards, please. Write me a letter. No postcards, please. And I'll send you this helpful literature. And my wife said, why don't he want a postcard? I said, darling, because you can't send money in a postcard. Oh, my friend, remember the old Trailblazer's address? The old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Write me, pray for me, goodbye, and God bless you.